got you living in.
This is WPTF Radio, Raleigh, North Carolina, and I'm Reese Edwards.
Hello, everybody. Atlantic Coast Conference Tournament basketball is on the air. This is Wally Ausley.
This is Bill Jackson speaking.
Hello, everybody. Welcome now to Sportsline. Gary Dornberg with you.
I'm Tony Rixby, WPTF News.
Hello, this is Charles Kuralt, CBS News, of WPTF in Raleigh.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back to Carolina Newsmakers. I'm Don Curtis.
Hello, friends. This is Bill Friday, WPTF in Raleigh.
I'm Rufus Adbiston on the Weekend Gardener.
Now, here is your moderator, Tom Kemp.
Thanks for watching this week's NC-SPAN.
Now, here is Hank Kaiser.
Hi-yo, well, that's good.
This is Art Devine.
This is Robert St. John in the NBC Newsroom in New York.
The Monitor edition of News of the World.
Debnam views the news. And now, here is Mr. Debnam.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Sam Beard
and Jim Reed
and Carl Gert.
Thank you, Sam, and greetings to all of our listeners.
This is Harriet Presley, WPTF in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Wayne Edda is standing by now with a check of the latest news.
WPTF News presents Regional Report, a digest of late happenings throughout the area.
This is Bill Ellis.
This is Jimmy Capps.
The Nocturne we send as our best.
This is Bill Hope.
This is Warren Barfield with Kingdom Scott at the organ and a program of familiar carols.
Good morning, this is Phil Franklin.
Paul Harvey. Good day.
And this is J.C. Knowles with the North Carolina Collection on WPTF.
I'm Mike Blackman, WPTF News.
Good evening, I'm David Sherrill.
This is Robert Hager, WPTF News.
This is Bob Farrington.
Good morning, everybody. Charlie Gaddy here with Ask Your Neighbor.
Mario Dale here.
Fess Parker, our guest this morning here at News Talk 680.
Well, Jack Boston, that was a great introduction.
Hey
everyone, great to have you with us. This is North Carolina's Morning News. I'm Brian Freeman on WPTF.
Hello, I'm your friend Boyd Rittner.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to the Bob Butler Show, and this is Ned Champion reporting.
And here is Carl Venters.
WPTF is the voice that shares with its neighbors what it's like to be living the life of Raleigh.
This is Donna Mason on 680 WPTF.
And I'm Dick Stork in the WPTF Record Vault. Good morning to you.
Tom Kearney here.
Johnny Hood on the Southern Farm Network.
Well, howdy, everybody. I'm Hef Hansen.
I'm Marlon Bowling reporting.
This is Charles Osgood wishing Mike Raley and Ann Clapp congratulations on the anniversary of WPTF's Weekend Gardener program.
I'm Mike Riley, the Weekend Gardener. Welcome in, everybody.
I'm Ann Clapp.
And this is a Tar Heel Gardener saying, keep them growing.
Some of the great voices you've heard over the last, mainly the last 70 years, but of course, Station 100 years old this year. In fact, late September, early October is when the station went on the air in 1924. So, always love. Love hearing those folks. We're at Guilford Garden Center in Greensboro. So happy to be here. And we've been joined by several people this morning. Doug Stroud is with us. Doug, we've been talking a lot about peonies, and we had another question off the air about when to cut back herbaceous peonies.
You can cut them. Depends on whether they're dying back or not. If latest, normally you would cut them back at least by the first frost.
Yeah.
But if they're already starting to turn brown and looking bad, you can go ahead and cut them back now because they pretty much fed all the nutrients to the roots that they're going to this year. And then, like I say, some of mine I started cutting back in September, and I'm still cutting them back. As the leaves start to turn brown and curl up, then I cut them back because they're not feeding the roots anymore.
Yeah. Okay. That's simple enough. We're at 701 Milner Drive in Greensboro, very, very close to Guilford College. And Christina Larson is one of three owners of Guilford Garden Center. I assume you're in the middle
former
there
owner,
somewhere.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So thank you for coming by.
Oh, it's truly my pleasure.
You are president of Greensboro Beautiful.
Correct. Actually, board chair.
Board chair. Okay. Tell us about that organization.
Oh, it's wonderful. So we are a nonprofit that partners with the city of Greensboro, mostly the Parks and Rec Department, to provide four public botanical gardens that are all free and open to the public. The Greensboro Arboretum, the Tanger Bicentennial Garden, the Bog Garden, and Gateway Gardens is our newest. We're also planting in downtown Greensboro at Hamburger Square. If you're familiar with Natty Green's new brew house.
Yeah,
we're just right in that neighborhood, trying to make things beautiful for people, but also bring in the pollinators and the birds and other wildlife to downtown. We also do neighborhoods tree plantings every year. Neighborhoods can sign up to have trees planted in their neighborhood and adjacent parks. And this year it's taking place on November 2nd at Bennett College for their 150th anniversary. We'll be planting 150 trees for their 150th anniversary. So
wonderful.
Probably a couple hundred volunteers for that.
By the way, I think the Arbor Day Foundation is a wonderful organization that promotes planting trees all over America.
For sure. We like to say trees are the answer. Whatever the problem is, trees are the answer.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, we're from Raleigh, so Raleigh has certainly believed in that, at least with oak trees. City of Oaks. But,
absolutely.
Yeah, it is important. And there are guidelines when you build, when commercial establishments build, they have to have trees and shrubs and certain square footage, and it was important. For cities like Greensboro to keep that in mind.
Absolutely.
Too.
You mentioned oak trees. I mean, white oak is the official tree of the city of Greensboro. It's a keystone species.
I did not know that.
It hosts over 600 species of insects that are the building blocks of the food chain. So very important that we keep our oak trees healthy and plant even more. We also, at Greensboro Beautiful, do litter cleanups all over town. So the amount of litter cleaned up by our volunteers would stagger the mind, but it's all part of, you know, keeping the green in Greensboro.
Yeah, very good.
You know, I don't understand that. I've never known why anybody is so lazy that they can't put the trash in a bag in their car and throw it out. And I'm sorry, you folks that throw trash out are not nice people.
Hear, hear.
Did you prosecute them when you were Attorney General?
Well, one time I did prosecute a group of people that kept dumping and dumping and dumping and dumping, and I brought a nuisance suit against them when I was Attorney General. Sure did.
By golly. Well, it is important. You, what is your background? Are you a horticulturist? Or?
No, I actually was in the restaurant business for about 40 years, always a hobby gardener.
Oh, my gosh.
But as I went through master gardener training and
learned
how to do it correctly,
yeah.
It just caught fire with me. And I've been a volunteer with Greensboro Beautiful for about 10 years, first as the curator of the butterfly garden at the Greensboro Arboretum, and then as chair of the Public Gardens Committee for the past 5 years.
Yeah.
And it's just a wonderful organization. No matter what your skill level, you can work elbow to elbow with other gardeners and always learn something. So, you know, we take care of each other and lift each other up and, you know, make things beautiful at the same time.
Butterfly garden, name me some of the things in there. Buddleia.
No, actually, no butterfly bush.
My goodness.
No milkweed?
You started with the wrong thing, Rufus.
Definitely the milkweed, the Joe Pye weed, fennel, parsley, all the host plants for various species. But then a lot of annuals, too, like zinnias. You know, butterflies need a flat flower to land on.
Oh, I love zinnias, yes.
Drink the nectar. So, and they've got to be able to see the bullseye, right? So if you can't see the yellow center of the flower, it's not going to be good for butterflies.
Yeah. Huh. Have you ever heard of a plant called Queen of the Prairie? It's sort of like a Joe Pye weed, and it's a big, puffy, grows about 5 feet tall, pink. I just came across it one time in a catalog, and it grew last year, and I loved it, and the bees and butterflies went nuts over it.
Super cool.
Queen of the Prairie.
Where is that native, do you know?
Well, I don't know.
We'll find out.
That's something, as we're driving home, you can work on that.
I'll ask
That'll be your
Sherry, yes. Or as my nephew says, Uncle Rufus, don't call her Shirley.
This garden center has been here since 1963. It's rare for businesses to last that long. We have Logan's in Raleigh that is a family-owned and has been around since, I guess, since the 60s, maybe before that. But I guess we've had three good owners.
Absolutely. You know, all things, just like gardens, evolve. And Guilford Garden Center has evolved. Stephanie will tell you she's got great variety, friendly staff, knowledgeable staff.
Very knowledgeable, yeah.
You mentioned Logan's. I'm a fan. anybody who owns a garden center stalks other garden centers.
Right? Oh, of course.
They all take the best of what each other do. And we've got some other good ones in Greensboro. And we would encourage folks from the Triangle to carpool over, tour some of our botanical gardens, have some lunch, and then hit the garden center.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned there are four botanical centers, right?
That's right. Four botanical gardens, all open to the public, from sunrise to sunset. If you bring a group of at least 10, we can give you a tour. Just go to greensborobeautiful.org, and we'd be happy to schedule a tour. You could even take the train over for the day. Amtrak comes right downtown Greensboro.
It does indeed.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
And take it back.
That would be fun. We think of the ACC tournament when we think of Greensboro quite often, but Greensboro has a lot going on.
Absolutely.
Yeah, some nice universities, and it's a real happening place. Stephanie, what are some of your interests in the gardening realm? Christina.
Yeah, so for me personally, I'm definitely into pollinator gardens. That's where I started out with my first project as a master gardener volunteer. And at the time I thought, what's the big deal about pollinators? I don't get it. Now I get it. I mean, yeah. The plight of the pollinators is real in our country. And
bees, primarily.
Bees and butterflies, yeah. Hummingbirds, bats, so many things. I mean, everyone, even if you just have a small balcony on a condo or apartment, everyone can plant a few flowers and help them out. I mean, downtown Greensboro, for example, we planted a median that had formerly been concrete. We took dwarf yaupon hollies and made a hedge around it, and then put 142 1-gallon perennials, pollinator perennials, in mm-hmm. there. Almost immediately, I saw bees, butterflies, finches coming
Waterfall.
In to eat the seed heads of the black-eyed Susans and coneflowers, and it's eye candy for downtown goers too. So we've actually been asked to do a couple more of those now, which we're excited to do. Anytime we can make other people and other species happy with flowers, hey, that's a win.
Yeah, it certainly is. Tell us how to make a pollinator garden. What do we start with?
So again, zinnias are a great one, even for children. You can grow them from seed. A pack of seeds is $3, and you probably get three or four dozen flowers.
Lots of sunlight.
Lots of sun for sure.
Yeah.
A good soil. Whether you've got it already existing, if you've amended a bed for a few years to kind of feed the clay a little bit, and then water. I mean, you need sunlight, water, and good soil, right?
Mm-hmm.
But any pollinator plant, anything that flowers almost is going to be good for the bees and butterflies. And the folks here at Guilford Garden Center can certainly point you in the right direction.
Yeah. During the winter, what about the pollinator garden during the four seasons?
Right, so there are some winter bloomers, things like hellebores, which unfortunately have been put on the invasive list recently.
Rufus is our hellebore expert.
Okay, so
be careful what you say about
it. Well, there are new hybrids that are not making a million copies of themselves,
right.
So I'd encourage you to look at those. Flowers that are sterile or nearly sterile are going to be more of a specimen plant, for example. So instead of having a garden bed that is just full of muddy-looking hellebores that have cross-pollinated, get some that have been bred for specific flower colors and shapes.
Amen. Say that again. I have thousands that seeded and seeded and seeded, and I can't, as I say back up home, I can't get shed of them.
And, well, it's the perfect pass-along plant, right? But
a deer won't even eat them.
Deer won't eat them. The saying goes, beware of anybody who wants to give you a plant that they have too many of.
Right. Right. So, Rose of Sharon.
I pass along Rose of Sharon.
Yeah.
There you go.
Beautiful.
I lost one in Hurricane Helene, and I'm not sad to have to cut it down.
But they are pretty in the middle of the summer.
They will bloom from
But there are also sterile cultivars of Rose of Sharon now. So.
Yeah.
Look, do your research and make sure you're not putting something into your garden that you're going to regret.
Yeah.
Boy, isn't that the truth.
What do we do for the insects during the winter?
Okay,
in the pollinator garden?
Yeah, that's where I was going with hellebores. We do get warm days, sunny days in the winter, and you'll see the bees come out, and they're in search of any flower that they can make use of. So the hellebores are one of those. Edgeworthia, some of the late-blooming or hybrid camellias. I mean, there's a lot of things that bloom in the winter that we don't think of being there for the pollinators, but they definitely will take advantage of them.
Okay. Doug, did you want to add something about pollinators that I'm sure you have? Do you have a little pollinator garden in your landscape?
I have some, but one of the things I wanted to talk about was the thing of open pollinators. Remember, when you have an open pollinator, you don't know what you're going to get. It's not going to be true to the original plant. And that's where you get into like your hellebores or any of these other plants. That's why I always deadhead all my peonies. I don't want the open pollination because it could be a new cultivar, but you don't know what it's going to be or what it's going to look like or anything else. And that's the issue with any plant that is allowed to be open pollinated.
We talked about last week, we had some pollinator experts on from NC State, the Pollinator Project.
Right.
And a couple of gardeners in with us, and we were talking about petting bumblebees.
Aww.
Just rubbing the bumblebees as they're kind of relaxing up there. And it's something do you do that, Rufus?
No.
You don't do that?
I had a hard time with it. Believing my friend Phil Campbell said, I just stroked the bumblebee.
Wow. Well, with the tip of your finger, not the whole hand. If it's that big.
One clinging to my pants the other day as I was walking through a flower farm, and I guess he was just too cold to wake up yet. So.
Well, I had one clinging to me yesterday, and there's a red spot to prove it.
Oh, you got stung. Got stung by
a bee. Well, I had the honeybee yesterday.
Well, stay out of their territory then.
Yeah,
that's the.
I thought the cigar would certainly scare
put them
away.
To sleep, or
an estathide.
That's not the kind of smoke that they are used to. I think to make them go to sleep. All right, you know it's during the year we get pollen in our cars and through the filters. We get the winter. You know everything's messing up your vehicle. But if you go to King's Auto Service, do a little pre-check during the seasons. Hit things before they go bad on you. It could be the brakes, everything, the hoses, the belts, even the wiper blades. Get them to check all of this stuff during a fall checkup before winter gets here. And if you have an electric, at least a hybrid vehicle, they have certified hybrid technicians at King's Auto Service in Raleigh. They can diagnose problems with that high-voltage battery or your 12-volt battery in any of your vehicles. And, you know, they don't last as long as they used to. So make sure that, just like when you're going to the doctor, you want to get a checkup before something happens so they can catch it early. And do that with King's Auto Service. Call King's on Monday. Schedule a courtesy battery analysis for your hybrid battery, for instance, or for your 12-volt, or anything else you need for your car. King's Auto Service, easy to find at 1039 Northwest Street in downtown Raleigh, and at kingautomotive.net. King's Automotive Service, Raleigh's most reliable auto care since 1946. You're listening to The Weekend Gardener. We are at Guilford Garden Center. Christina, what's the best way to get here if we're traveling on 40, for instance?
Okay, so I-40 to the Guilford College Road exit where we have the new Topgolf.
Yeah, boy, that's big.
And take a right, and it's about maybe a mile and a half, 2 miles.
Yeah, it's not far. We're on Milner Road, and... Let me get the correct 701 Milner Milner Drive in Greensboro, and it's so amazing that it's right here it's almost in the middle of town, or it feels like the middle of town. It's in town. It's not on the periphery.
Exactly.
Sometimes, so you can tell it's been here a long, long time. So come join us, or if you have a chance to come up from Raleigh or anywhere you're listening this morning. We do have Greensboro listeners. But we'll be back after the news here on WPTF. All right, we're back on WPTF, the Weekend Gardener. Unfortunately, today the Tar Heels are playing a little early, and so
kind of.
Hey, listen, you said that, Jeff. I did not. Since the president of the company and the owner of the company went
hold
to Carolina.
It here now, hold it.
And oh, him too went
you
to Carolina.
Walk off here in a minute. Not a walk on, a walk off.
I think that's a baseball term, but we. Yeah, at any rate, we're cut short. We're cut short today by 2 hours, which is unfortunate because, you know, the show goes so quickly, mm-hmm. Stephanie.
I love this place.
Thank you so much, Stephanie Jones, who owns the place now. Thank you for having us out here. We've had a great time.
Well, thank you guys for coming. It's been awesome.
Yeah. So, first of all, once again, how do we get to Guilford Garden Center if we're on 40? Most of us would come in on 40, I think. We would. I think we'd take the Guilford College exit.
Correct.
And come down.
Come down Friendly.
Yeah. And just you come to Milner Street.
Mm-hmm, yep. And you could see, like, there's a Walmart. That's kind of a good marker. Yeah. So we're right behind the Walmart.
Yeah. And very near Guilford College, mm-hmm. So it's...
I call us a little hidden gem because we're not quite off Friendly. We're not quite off...
But, you know, 50 years ago, 50-some years ago when I was a cadet at Oak Ridge, there wasn't a whole lot out here. Mm-hmm. It was just the college,
basically,
as I remember, because we used to come in the back way on Saturdays when we had our time off. After formation and everything, and we'd go wild here in Greensboro at the Castaways Club and very places like that. You don't remember any of that stuff, but it's those were the hangouts.
My hangout was the Plantation Inn on North.
Well, that was in Raleigh. What about when you were a student at Carolina?
No, I'm talking about here in Greensboro.
Oh, here in Greensboro.
North of Greensboro. The Plantation. What was it? Ross, the Plantation... It was a nightclub.
Plantation Supper Club,
which was known all over the East Coast.
Was it like a theater?
They had music and theater.
Oh, okay.
North of Greensboro.
It's kind of like the Raleigh Dinner Theater.
Yeah.
That we
right.
used to have. Okay. How about that? So this is a full this is a really full service garden center because we were talking with Bobby, I guess, mm-hmm. about you actually can be hired to go out to residences and to help with planning and
yes,
so forth.
Yes, yes, yes. So we do a little bit of landscape design. We call it DIY. So a lot of times we'll suggest to people what they can plant. We'll go out there, take a look at their lighting conditions, their soil conditions, that kind of thing, and help them kind of make good choices.
Boy, I've heard that a lot in my life. Make good choices, man.
But then we also have the houseplant doctor is what we call our houseplant department. And this department has kind of expanded.
That's where we are.
And we are, yes. So people bring in their plants that are suffering or not doing so
well.
They've
overwatered.
Mm-hmm. Overwatered or gotten a fungus or something.
A lot of orchids.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We have.
You keep orchids?
We do keep orchids.
People get so frustrated with orchids.
They are hard.
Yeah, yeah. They can be. Now, some people say they're real easy to grow, but not for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So
and
you have
do,
to.
Yeah, we have Jack here. He's kind of an orchid
You have
expert.
To know how to do it, and y'all can explain things like that. You have an incredible number of plants here, quite a variety. And obviously, Doug loves the peonies, and you have a good selection of peonies, or at least you know where you can get them.
Yes, we do, amongst other things. But
Yeah.
We get those in usually in the spring. We did get a few in this fall, but the springtime is the best time for the widest variety of peonies here.
Well, I've noticed, too, you have all kinds of gardening supplies here.
Mm-hmm.
And little knickknacks and fun calendars and flags.
Some great tools, mm-hmm. too.
Yeah.
I got...
Yeah.
Finished by Christmas shopping.
Well, this is a great place for birthdays, for Christmas shopping. These make... for anniversaries, these make wonderful gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Everything, it's all practical.
Yeah, and we try to stock a lot of local art, local artists and that kind of thing, local people, people's art and pottery is the word I'm thinking of. Good Lord.
If you're a big cereal fan there, you got a big bowl here. It's like a Jethro Bodine bowl. And you can put your Cheerios in that, Rufus.
Fruit Loops.
Your Fruit Loops. You can put your Fruit Loops in that. We'll go home with that then. but you've got bulbs, and we're getting close to the time when you start picking out your bulbs for spring.
Correct.
For the spring flowering bulbs.
Now is the time. Yeah. Think about that. And we got a great variety this year, some interesting pieces.
A lot of birding supplies here, too.
Yeah, we have a big birding community here. We're on the path, the migration path. So a lot of people, if you're interested in birds, are getting attracting birds to your yard. We do have the right equipment for you.
We saw a bunch of Canadian geese flying north, but they don't leave anymore.
No. They don't. So, I think the hummingbirds are coming back down now, headed back down south. So now's a good time for hummingbird stuff, if that's something.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, we don't think of it in the hummingbirds in October.
Yeah, I just re-sugared mine yesterday.
Just sugar?
Resugared my hummingbird feeder.
Little cream?
No. I learned they don't do anything except granulated sugar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, don't like do brown it. Sugar.
Somebody told me they said, I use saccharin. Don't kill them.
No. It doesn't have to be red.
No, it doesn't.
No, they're attracted to purple. They're attracted to all different colors.
Yeah, how about that? So, Doug, did you find the peony stash? Oh, okay, yeah.
Oh, thank you.
But it's a magnificent place. I hope people will come out. And,
well, I see a whole house plant division, and
we're
sitting in it.
We're in the house plant room. We have a big greenhouse right now.
You have a greenhouse out here too.
Mm-hmm. And that's where the annual perennials are in the greenhouse, and then trees and shrubs out back. We call that the hill. Because it's on a hill, and a huge amount of soils and amendments as well.
Okay.
Well, I didn't find any square foot out here you don't have something on.
I know.
Well, when you're now in the middle of the city almost, you have to.
We jam it in here.
That's right.
Yeah. So,
we need to talk with Monica Wood, who's the manager of the State Farmers Market in Raleigh. Few minutes, Miss Monica. How are you? How much money or products have y'all gathered for the folks who are dealing with Helene up in the mountains of North Carolina?
We have been busy.
When are you not busy, Monica?
I don't know. That's
I mean the market this. And you, as a matter of fact. Yeah.
We have we've been very fortunate. Our community has been very supportive, and we have received. What have we ended up doing? I believe we have sent 3 transfer truck trailer loads this week up to the western part of the state, as well as a couple other trucks that have gone along with that, a box truck and a few pickup truck loads. So we have sent quite a bit of product up there, and we're so thankful for the community supporting us and for everyone who's donated, and it's just been a wonderful thing to be able to at least be able to send something up there to help them because they need it. And I want to thank everyone that's listened today that has brought anything by or has spread the word that, you know, we're a drop-off site so that folks can bring things
for us. And you're going to be doing it for several times, I'm sure, because this is not going away, this situation in the mountains.
Yeah, so we have just kind of left the area like we had it where we're doing a drop-off where folks can just bring things by, sort of self-serve, and on the weekends we'll hopefully have, and from time to time we'll have someone out here, you know, to help unload. And if anyone
absolutely
has a larger load, then we'll definitely just arrange a time that we can make sure we have staff here to help get it unloaded. And we've had we've had folks that have volunteered that have just been out here shopping. They have literally walked up and said, can we help? And that's,
you know, it feels like family out at the farmer's market.
Definitely.
Whether it's been through this show or for other reasons, you've been visiting the market for years. I mean, it's kind of a family atmosphere. And you know, when people are in trouble, you know, North Carolinians especially, we want to chip in. My son and daughter-in-law were up in Tommy Burleson Country in Newland last weekend, working for Samaritan's Purse. They're back up today. My daughter is with them too. They're all working near Valley Cruz, not too far from the Mass Store, the old Mass Stores, working today. And they were certainly devastated up there. So yeah, any help however you can, whether it's through money or through giving to charities that you're familiar with, like Samaritan's Purse or the Red Cross, or listen to the Secretary of State, our current Secretary of State, who knows well. She has given us many guidelines, and Rufus, that's something that you handled. You don't want to deal with fraud.
No, at this times of crisis, Monica, the fraudsters come in, especially at cleanup time. And you used to warn people, only do business with people you know. Get an estimate. Do not ever give money up front. And when you're sending cash, pick a well-known thing like Samaritan's Purse, like Red Cross, others, because today fraudsters know how to do things. They manipulate everything. They make you think you're giving the best, so just be warned.
Yeah. Work with people like the State Farmers Market. When they ask you to help them, because they are a great vehicle for funneling all of that food up to other markets. You're working, I know, with all of the market, the Charlotte and the Piedmont up here where we are, near where we are, and getting things to the Asheville. What is the state of the Asheville Farmers Market right now, Monica?
They're actually open. They had minimal damage.
Great.
They came through okay, and they actually, just as soon as they were able to get things up and running after the storm, they became the MANA food bank site for, and they're still working with MANA because MANA food bank's operations were destroyed during the storm. And
that's like the Food Bank of North Carolina. It's up in the Asheville area. And, of course, we talk a lot about Asheville because it's such a large city, and it's such a large population. Their population center, but there are, west and north of, especially west and south of Asheville, there are so many small areas that were wiped off the face of the earth, like Chimney Rock. And to the west there, toward the Tennessee line, there's a lot of country out there, and people feel forgotten. And I know that the MANA and the Farmers Market there in Asheville are working along with organizations to get food out there, along with state and federal officials. But we don't have long, Monica, but do you still have any butter beans and peas out there? Well, tell us some of the vegetables and fruits you have. I know you got good mountain apples.
Yes, those mountain apples are definitely in, and what a way to support the North Carolina
what a wonderful way.
The western part of the state, to come out and shop and buy from those apples. And we've got some pumpkins here from the mountains, tomatoes, there's some tomatoes and things like that coming in from the mountains now as well. So come out and support our farmers, and those mountain apples are just delicious anyway. And you can get apple cider, you can find dried apples, and a few other apple products that are down there as well, all different varieties of them also. And some of our growers have, suffered some damage, but some of them they're so resilient. They don't skip a beat. They just figure out how to start recovering from what they have lost, and they rebuild, and they're all working together up there. I've heard so many stories, and about just coming out here to the market and supporting, buying from those growers, that helps a lot. But along with the apples, you can still find, I mentioned pumpkins, we have pumpkins galore, every shape, size, color you can imagine. If you're looking for those fall decorations, or you're having a festival, you can definitely come out and get what you need. Bales of wheat straw, gourds, mums. The mums are just beautiful right now. Their colors are so vibrant. There's pansies. We also have fruit trees, shrubbery, and so many other things if you're looking to do a little bit of fall planting. And It's a great time to come out. It's a beautiful day out here.
It is a beautiful day. And I wanted to ask you about, you know, I've had a lot of questions about pumpkins. Now, you've had pumpkins for a while. And also Christmas trees. I understand the Christmas trees industry is in pretty good shape. The trees are in good shape, but the roads are the problem, the transportation down under the mountain, as Rufus's mother would say, is going to be a problem this year. What have you heard?
I've heard a few mixed responses concerning, you know, different, of course, just different areas are affected differently, but I'm hearing that, you know, once again, those they're out working, they're trying to get their roads and the paths through their farms and everything as workable as they possibly can. And, you know, I know that we're going to have Christmas trees. It's going to be different. It's going to be more challenging for those growers to get them off of those mountains.
Right.
But I'm already hearing from some of those growers, you know, saying, hey, I'm just making sure you've got everything that you need from us, you know, so when this time we can got our space and can get in there. So, and even from a few additional growers that are up there that know that they're not going to be able to operate in their normal fashion there where they're looking other outlets to sell. So we're going to do all we can to try to help get as many of those farmers down here to, you know, to be able to sell their trees. And I think overall, they're okay in ways. In some ways, they're not, I guess is a good way to put it. They've just got a lot of challenges ahead and got a, you know, a lot of folks that's pitched in and up there trying to help them out. You know, the folks with livestock up there, you know, they're having a time as well just trying to get fences rebuilt and all those kinds of things. And, you know, there's an operation going on through emergency programs with the Department of Agriculture where they're trying to get hay and feed up there, those animals. And there's just so many pieces to it that you just don't think about until there's some type of emergency like this. And it's a lot of pieces that goes into it, a lot of hands that it takes to make it all happen to keep everybody going.
Well, we're I'm afraid we're going to have to leave you, Miss Monica. A reminder that you can get plenty to eat out there, too, with the farmer's market restaurants and super sods out there. And it's such a wonderful place to visit. You just need a Ferris wheel or something.
That's right. And, you know, they're coming to the state fair.
That's right. hit the market, then hit the fair or vice versa. Yeah. Thank you, Monica.
Tickets here. Thank you. You guys come see us.
All right, we shall.
Mike, let me mention one more time. The Super Kids Benefit, Thursday, October 24, Pam's Restaurant, Raleigh, 5 o'clock. See you there. Super
I'll be
Kids.
There. I RSVP'd. I'll be there. Stephanie, once again, I apologize. We don't have the third hour today. But thank you so much for coming back.
Well, thank you.
For allowing us to come here.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm trying to say.
I've learned a lot today.
Well, I've come back. I've been here before, so I guess that makes sense.
Yes. Well, thank you guys for coming out here. We appreciate it.
Yeah, we love it. And it's very easy to find. We're near Guilford College. And if you're on 40, just take the Guilford College exit. Says Jamestown. You go, that's south, but you go north and take the road there. That's Friendly, you say? Is that Friendly?
Friendly's right up here.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. We're not far from Friendly, but off of 40. Just take that exit and keep going, cross the railroad tracks, and head out toward Guilford College, 701 Milner, M-I-L-N-E-R Drive in Greensboro. Put in your GPS where you're. We're driving here,
and they're friendly here too, Mike.
They're near
friendly, very friendly yes. people.
Yeah. Yes,
you are friendly. They are friendly and knowledgeable. so important, and such a wonderful selection. And we're going to do a little shopping here since we're going off the air early. Well, we would have anyway. Doug, thank you very much for bringing your knowledge here and. Doug says he might come to Break Bad and come to Raleigh and be on the show with us down there.
Oh, my goodness.
That would be wonderful, but I have encouraged Doug to call us whenever you want to, but certainly when there's something concerning about P&Es. I'm sorry Mr. Friday is not around. He would love to talk to you. I think Mr. Friday's problems with the mildew was because he didn't have He didn't have enough sunshine. He didn't have enough light for his peonies over there.
Well, everybody loves peonies.
That's right.
Actually, the mildew and all really is two reasons. One is overhead watering with not enough air circulation. That's why the ones here started getting it late, because they were all together.
Right.
They need that air circulation, because I had one or two plants with it out of that big bed that you saw.
Yeah.
But, and I use an overhead sprinkler because I got a well to water it with.
Yeah.
I don't get as much, but if they're close together and you have overhead watering, they need that air circulation. Remember, we're talking about how far apart to plant them and all that.
Don't crowd me. You know, so that's just the way they feel. They're a little picky, aren't they, Doug? I mean, come on.
No, not really.
You don't think so?
No.
You don't see any problems, really, with you like everything about a peony.
I love it. But like I say, the mildew is an issue.
Yeah.
The other thing that I like about them is they stay green all summer.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so it's not like it's like the winter looks really bad. That's why I planted rose bushes and some other stuff in there so it doesn't look so empty.
What else have you bought here besides peonies? Because, I mean, you have a beautiful landscape.
I bought roses because they carry the
David Austin
roses here. The climbing rose that I got in that new bed I told you I put one in, well, the red one came from here.
Mm-hmm. You have a kind of a weeping cedar or cypress. Is it cypress or
there's
cedar?
There's a cypress in the
pot. Yeah, that's a nice addition,
you know,
to it.
And then,
you've got a lot of those things. Mm-hmm. A lot of blues and greens and foliage, and it's nice to mix that. They make it look like the mountains.
And the other one that's a big one here is the hydrangeas. They've got a
I bought we were up here this late spring, early summer, whenever we came up, we bought a couple of hydrangeas too. Yeah, great selection.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
thank you
very
guys.
Much Stephanie. Yeah. Thank you, Doug. Thanks to everybody. Thanks to our Greensboro listeners. And we'll be back in Raleigh. We'll be back in Lillington next week on the Weekend Gardener.
Be the person your dog thinks you are.
Absolutely. We love you. God love you. And we'll see you next week.
All right.
The Weekend Gardener.